good morning. If you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 15. As I said earlier, we'll be looking at the first seven verses. And this is somewhat of an odd place, I have to admit, to break up the text from one sermon to the next. However, verses 8 through 11 are just so significant that I didn't want to try and squeeze them into these first seven verses. And so we'll look at verses 8 through 11 next week. So let's start by reading John chapter 15, starting with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this word, these verses, this blessed gift of you speaking to us. We pray, Lord, that as we look into these words in this hour, that your words would speak to us. They would reveal to us places where we need adjustments and changes in our lives. And we pray they would re-encourage us in the areas that we need encouragement. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be present now, working in all of us, to grasp what you are saying, and then to look for the joy that comes with it. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, so Jesus makes another one of his I am statements here with I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. So let's just take verse 1 for a second to understand the metaphors. Jesus is saying that he is the grape, well, let's just call it a grapevine, that he is the grapevine being grown to bear the fruit of grapes, and that his Father is the vine dresser, which means that the Father is the gardener. He's the one that does the work on the vine so that it will bear much fruit. But for the vine to bear much fruit, it has to be in the main vine. When we think about growing grapes, I'll try not to get too horticulturally detailed here. But when we think about growing grapes, as many of you know, they grow on a trellis. And so the main trunk will come up out of the ground, and then it will be split off into two separate vines that are the main branches of the vine. And then from those main branches come all the smaller branches that then produce the grapes. And so when Jesus says that I am the vine, he is the trunk and the main vine in this illustration or metaphor. And when he says that the Father is the vine dresser, he means that the Father is the one that comes out and decides, I think this is important, the Father decides what needs to be cut and what doesn't need to be cut. And then he does it. And so Jesus goes on to then explain that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Purpose clause, right? Now, this first part of verse 2 is a little bit unsettling, right? Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Okay, the second half's not too bad, but the first half is kind of a little frightening, because nobody wants to be the vine that's taken out of the main branch. And as we see later in the verses, it's then cast away. Nobody wants to be that. And I'll explain more about it when we get lower down in the paragraph and those verses come back up. But he prunes every branch that does not bear fruit. He prunes every branch that does bear fruit so that it may bear more fruit. Now, we are the small vines, you know, that come out of and grow out of the main branch, right? So I don't see an almost every branch in that verse. I don't see an every branch but Brian in that verse. What I see is that every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes it. Okay, wait a minute. This second half of the verse is not getting as exciting as it first looks, right? Because every branch gets pruned. Nobody wants to be pruned. Nobody. Not even me. Nobody wants it. Because it's painful. Almost always, when the Father prunes us, it's an unpleasant and difficult circumstance. Like what I referred to last week with being conformed into his image. So the pruning is helping us to be more conformed into the image of Christ so that, for the purpose of bearing more fruit. Now, I have some experience in pruning. Actually, I have a lot of experience in pruning. I have so much experience in pruning, I have pruned enough for the rest of my life. It doesn't bother me again if I don't have to prune another plant. And I can tell you this. In a pruning practice, the first thing you do is remove the dead wood. And believe it or not, the dead wood that you remove, while it seems kind of big at first, is actually very small compared to the total amount that you prune out. And then after pruning out the dead wood, we then start to prune the live wood so that it will bear more fruit. And as a result, there's more live wood sitting on the ground when we're finished than dead wood. Wait, did you catch that? There's more live wood laying on the ground than dead wood when we finish pruning. And that's almost universally true no matter what kind of plant we're pruning. But especially true when we're talking about fruit-bearing plants. I can tell you with absolute confidence that every time I pruned a peach tree, I had left more live wood on the ground than I did dead. And the first couple of times I was doing it, I was like, what? I'm taking off way too much wood. But it feels good. I'm going to do some more. Which is one of the dangers of pruning. Fortunately, our Father doesn't have that problem of pruning too much because he gets carried away. And so, if we're going to bear more fruit from Jesus, I think you guys see kind of the obvious place I'm going. He's going to have to prune out some things that are good, but are not necessarily helping us bear more fruit. Right? But when we do, just as in the vine, when the pruning is done correctly, the vine will produce more fruit the next year than it did that year of the pruning. And so, we go through pruning. In some cases, he's pruning out wild wood that's never going to produce. We call them water suckers. You know, an example of a water sucker he may want to prune out of our lives is pridefulness. There's plenty of live wood in the water sucker of pride. And that's going to be taken out and cast to the side. Sometimes he may want to prune out things that are not bad, right? As I said a moment ago. In fact, if we just left them, they would bear fruit, but they're never going to bear as much fruit. An example of that would be me trying to practice some of the spiritual gifts that I know I don't have. If I try to do that, yes, they're going to bear some fruit, but I will never bear as much fruit as if I just worked with the gifts he's given me. And so, we have to receive those things that he takes out of our lives so that we may bear more fruit. Even if they're things that we like and hold dear. I hate to use myself so much as an example, but I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about them. I mean, I don't make stuff up so that you think I'm not talking about you. I remember when Amy and I became empty nesters. That was just an unpleasant pruning. Yes, we wanted our little chicks to become fully grown chickens. Just sounds bad. So they could go out and, you know, live their life and fulfill their calling that God has placed on their lives in whatever places and roles it is, which for us is 1,000 miles east and 1,000 miles west. And in the case of the boomerang, they're back in the house with us. But it's not a bad boomerang. But nonetheless, there was this short period where we were empty nesters. And it was unpleasant. But it was necessary for God the Father to prune out our children so that we could start bearing more fruit for the kingdom of God by not having children to take care of. I know that may sound harsh. It's certainly not meant to be harsh, but it was just the reality. Without children in the house, we could focus more on our individual spiritual growth, thereby producing more outward spiritual growth and bearing more fruit outwardly. Additionally, there's something else to recognize on bearing fruit. We typically, most of the time, think about bearing fruit as the outward fruit we bear with our walk with Jesus. Whether it's evangelism and bringing people to Christ, whether it's teaching, whether it's showing mercies and helps, or prayer, whatever our individual gift is, we think about exercising it, and that's bearing more fruit outwardly. And it's true, it does. That is one of the important measurements or important ideas behind bearing fruit. But there's also more to it than that. It's also the inward spiritual growth that we have is also bearing fruit and should not be underestimated. Inward spiritual growth is how you and I become able to bear more outward fruit. And if we aren't growing spiritually, we're not going to bear more fruit. They go hand in hand. Well, they don't go hand in hand as in a sense that they occur at the same time. But the inward spiritual growth then becomes the foundation for the outward bearing of fruit that comes next. And then Jesus says, "Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." A part of it connects back to when he sent Judas out so that Judas could go and betray Christ. But it also is connected directly to the Passover, which is where this moment is occurring. If you remember, they were in the upper room doing Passover. They finished Passover. And then Jesus says at the end of verse 31 in chapter 14, the very last phrase of chapter 14, "Rise, let us go from here." So it's still Thursday night of Passover. And they're going out, and we know where they're going. They're going to the Garden of Gethsemane, where it's all going to happen. And as they're going to Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus is explaining this to them. And as part of the Passover rituals, they had to be clean. And Jesus is telling them they are already clean because of his word. Now think about that for a second. Because of Jesus' word, they are already clean. The disciples. But everything he says in this section of chapter 15, he is saying to us as well. It is his word, the words he speaks, that cleanse us. So you and I are cleansed every time we open up the word, read it, and have fellowship with Christ through the word. Isn't that encouraging? Isn't that just like, such a burden is taken off our shoulders in trying to make ourselves clean? And then Jesus gets into the abiding parts, right? We can bear fruit because we are in him. Abide in me and I in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Unless we abide in Christ, we can do nothing. Now, most everybody here intellectually understands that idea. This is not the first time you've heard, abide in me, because apart from me, you can do nothing. We all intellectually grasp that. But do we grasp it spiritually? Do we grasp the spirit side of abiding in Christ and the Holy Spirit abiding in us? Because if we don't grasp the spiritual side of this, we will fool ourselves into thinking we are abiding in Christ when we are not. We will fool ourselves into thinking, oh, I am good. I mean, I'm doing great here. I'm staying with Jesus for this 15 minutes. And then I'm not the rest of the day. Now, I know that it becomes a very practical question of how do you abide in Jesus throughout the whole day while still doing stuff throughout the day? Because everybody has to do stuff, right? Nobody can just sit at home or sit in the garden and just read the Bible the whole day and have this wonderful fellowship with Christ, just you and him throughout the whole day. Nobody can do that because we have to go do stuff. So the way we do that while we're going out to do our stuff is to remain spiritually focused on him even while we're doing our stuff. I find the more I grow and the more I abide in Christ, the more I just am thankful for the simple things. Like, I make the traffic light before it turns red. It's a small thing, but I hate getting stopped at traffic lights. And so I go through and I say, thank you, Jesus. Right? Because his divine hand, yes, I'm one of those that believed even his divine hand was at work when I tried to get through the traffic light before it turns red. And he did that as a gift of kindness towards me. Not because I necessarily needed it, but just because he wanted to give a good gift to his child. And every time I can see the good gift he gives, I can thank him, and that's abiding in him. I know for you, I'm not sure what that simple thing is that happens on a regular basis, if not daily, that you just can thank him for and not feel weird thanking him for it, right? And this idea of we can't bear fruit unless we're abiding in him That means he's supplying us with all the things we need to be able to bear fruit. Just as the branch is getting all of its water and nutrients from the main branch, so also we get all of our spiritual nourishment and spiritual needs so that we can bear fruit from Jesus. Because we are the branches. Here is where I'm going to deal with this subject of the pruning out of those branches that don't bear fruit. How can a branch start out bearing fruit? Well, some don't. But how can a branch start out bearing fruit and then stop bearing fruit? Well, there's different reasons if we're talking about the vine metaphor. But when we're talking about it as a spiritual metaphor, spiritually, the way we can stop bearing fruit is we just stop hanging out with Jesus. Right? We stop reading his word. We stop fellowshipping with the believers. We stop hanging out with the believers. We stop doing all those things that are part of our natural life in Christ. And as a result, we stop bearing fruit. Well, I can tell you from experience that if I have a branch that has stopped bearing fruit, but I'm not ready to completely remove it, there is some serious, hard, heavy pruning going to take place on that branch. And in the same way, the Father will prune those branches before he decides to completely remove them. Then we get to the subject of actually physically removing the branches from the vine because they've stopped bearing fruit. Okay, well, this is getting a little confusing. Let me get this straight. We have branches that have been abiding in Christ and they're not bearing fruit. So this isn't talking about the unbeliever who's never been grafted into Christ. This is talking about the group of believers, the ones who, like from the parable of the sower, have things, the cares of this world choke them out, or all the other issues in our lives that can cause us to stop bearing fruit, and then completely walk away from the faith. That's what we're talking about when he says he's going to remove the branches that don't bear fruit and cast them aside to then later be thrown into the fire. These are the people who walk away from the faith. They just flat out say, you know, I just don't think this Jesus thing is real anymore. And God, if he exists, I can't know him. And so I'm just going to start living my life, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I might die. That's who we're talking about. But notice they were believers. How did they get to this place where they just walk away? Usually it's something difficult, right? God starts doing some pruning in their life and they take offense at what he's removed away through the difficulties of whatever circumstances they have. And that disappointment and grief turns to bitterness. The root of bitterness starts to grow within their hearts, and then it becomes and bears flowers of discontent, and then finally it bears the fruit, the prickly fruit of walking away from Christ. Now there's this whole question that sits out there about, well, are they really believers if they walk away from the faith and all those kind of things? And we know that people can appear to be converted and have faith in Christ when in fact it was a false conversion and they really don't. We know that that can be the case in many often. And I would say almost all the cases it is. It was just a false conversion. They experienced something emotional and thought they were saved, but they never really embraced Christ as their Lord and Savior, and giving their whole life over to him. I will simply say there's a cliche that has helped me in this understanding of, well, were they believers or not believers? when they walked away from the faith. And the cliche goes like this. Faith that fizzled before the finish had a fatal flaw from the start. They had some kind of flaw in their conversion, usually a false one. You abide in me and my words abide in you. There in verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Notice how often Jesus repeats the word abide. I mean, I know the headings in most of your Bibles will say, I am the true vine as the heading of the section. But in reality, it could have also just been the heading on the section could also just be abide in me. Because abiding is so critical and so brought up so often throughout this passage. So what does it really mean to abide in him? Well, we've talked about the metaphor of being the branch in it coming off of the main vine, right? And abiding in him means staying in him. But from a practical standpoint, what does it mean to stay in Jesus? I talked a little bit about the different ways you can abide in him just going through your everyday activities. But this abiding, I believe, is slightly different. Notice he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. I think this is where he's talking about those times and periods of intentional studying into the word, reading to the word, reading in the word, reading about it, studies with other people, and also you're praying through scriptures. I think that's what he really means when he talks about abiding and abiding in his word, abiding in us. So, from a practical standpoint, I just encourage you to read the Bible more. Right? What are the basics of football? This is a football. Right? Your goal is to get it across the goal line. You do that by running it or throwing it. If you're defensive, your goal is to stop them from getting across the goal line. How do you do that? Pass rushing and tackling in the backfield. Those are the basics of football. What are the basics of the Christian life? What are the basics of spiritual growth? It's really easy. Reading the word and praying. Reading and praying. Those are the basics of the Christian life. You do those and you're always going to grow. I can guarantee you with 100% absolutely that if you read and pray, you will grow. And the amount, the frequency of your reading and praying is directly proportional to the amount you're going to grow. You read and pray every day, you're going to experience some kind of spiritual growth every day. You know why? Because every day you're abiding in him more than you did the day before. And then the last phrase of verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Do you see the connection? If you abide in me, ask whatever you wish. We can know that Christ and God the Father will answer our prayers by abiding in him. If we abide in him, we know we will get the answer. Because as we abide in him, we will pray and ask for things that are in accordance to what his will is and to what he wants to see done in our lives and the lives of the people around us. That's how we can know. Because we're abiding in him and we want the same things that he wants. And so, my brothers and sisters, my admonition to you is very simple. Abide in him and ask for what you wish. Oh Lord, thank you today for this word. Thank you for the beauty of it. Thank you for the glory of your name. Thank you for the majestic, glorious, beautiful, stunning, shocking love that you have for us, that you want us to abide in you and that you want to abide in us. Thank you, Jesus, for being the main vine. Thank you, Jesus, for letting us branch from your main vine and become the people you've created us to be, to bear the fruit you've called us to bear. In Jesus' holy name, amen.